And a big hi to you. I am looking forward to getting into the Word of God with you right now. And today I want to wrap up the series that we've been looking at over the last few weeks titled Jesus Way. This is part 7. And 7 is a good number to finish on, isn't it? God's perfect number. The final part of the series. The last part, by the way, part 6, was called Love Your Haters. And you'll find that online. I was typing that during the week and predictive text changed the word haters to hamsters, which I thought was... So, you know, if you've got a hamster, love your hamsters as well. But we looked at what Jesus has to say in the Sermon on the Mount about loving your enemies. And the word enemy there is actually not a great translation of the Greek word. It's referring to any relationship where there is ill will that exists between you. And we all have, sadly, people either in our lives or used to be in our lives, and ill will exists between us. And so Jesus is teaching there about how to love people like that in a practical way. So if you missed that message, I encourage you to catch up either with the video or the audio podcast. The title of today's message is Small Gates and Narrow Roads. And we're going to investigate what Jesus meant by this in the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 7 and reading from verse 9. Which of you, says Jesus, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And then there's a title, and I'll comment on titles in the Bible in just a moment. The title in the NIV is The Narrow and Wide Gates. Enter through the narrow gate. But wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So what's the deal with Jesus calling us evil in those verses? Though you are evil. Let me just spend a couple of minutes on this because it's really important. Jesus' choice of words here in the original language was very interesting. He didn't use the Greek word referring to someone who has an evil character. Neither did he use the word that means degenerate. In fact, instead of translating this word evil, it could refer to annoyance or irritation. We could correctly translate Jesus' words something like this: even though you sometimes find your children's requests irritating, you still give them good gifts. I wonder, is there anyone within the sound of my voice right now, either as a parent or if you work with or interact with kids in any way, maybe as a childcare worker, an aunt, an uncle, whatever, is there anyone who interacts with kids who's unable to identify with this? We all find children's requests and behaviour annoying or irritating at times. And so Jesus is actually referring here to the hassle of parenting and how much better a parent our Heavenly Father is compared to us. He's not calling people wicked or evil. Instead, he's recognizing our inherent goodness towards our children, even during times of stress or reluctance. But as good as we are to our kids, our Heavenly Father is so much better. I wrote a blog on this during the week. So if you go to the church website, you'll be able to find my latest blog, which goes into more detail about human beings' inherent goodness. Anyway, back to our text. Jesus summarizes his statements about God's goodness outshining human goodness by quoting what has come to be known as the golden rule. Let's look at that again. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. That was a way of saying this statement summarizes the entire Bible. Old Testament, New Testament is summarized by the golden rule. Then there's that title, The Narrow and Wide Gates. And then Jesus goes on talking about the narrow gate, the broad way, the small way, the wide gate, all of that kind of stuff. Now, titles in the Bible, much like chapters and verses, are very useful. Chapters and verses were added, I think, around the 14th century. And it certainly makes it a whole lot easier. You know, if you're trying to read the Bible or you're trying to direct someone to a different part of Scripture, it's great to be able to say, go to this book, go to this chapter, go to that verse. It's great for navigation. But sometimes chapters and verses can hinder the flow of Scripture and our understanding of it. And it's the same with titles. Titles were added by the publishers of each Bible. So you'll find different titles in different Bibles. And it's to help us understand what we're reading, but there are cases like our text today where the title becomes a hindrance. So let's read this again without the title. So in everything, says Jesus, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, invariably, when I hear this taught or preached or discussed by Christians, invariably, the topics of heaven and hell come up. You know, it's like, well, according to this interpretation of the Scripture, most people go to hell because wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter in through it. But only a few people make it to heaven because small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What a shame, isn't it? And, you know, whenever I hear that taught, the person teaching it, of course, is always the one who's going to go to heaven. Shame about all the other people. But I don't believe that's what Jesus is teaching here. In fact, he doesn't mention heaven or hell in these verses. He's teaching on the best way for his followers to live as they live Jesus' way. The golden rule, do to others in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, is actually the small gate and the narrow road. In fact, Jesus' words, enter through the narrow gate, could be translated, enter through this narrow gate. The definite article, the, is translated as this 31 times in the New Testament. And so that verse could read, enter through this narrow gate. That is the narrow gate of living out the golden rule in everyday life, of treating others the same way you want them to treat you. The word narrow in the original Greek refers to a closely defined path that God ordains us to travel. It's the Jesus way. It's the golden rule. In other words, there are lots of other ways you may choose to live and interact with other people. All those choices are wide and broad and invariably don't work out so well. They sometimes lead to destruction. That word, rather than referring to hell, speaks about waste or loss. In other words, when we choose not to treat others the way we want to be treated, when we are unkind or when we are judgmental or short-tempered or we gossip about other people, friendships are lost and relationships are wasted. In the workplace, we may lose a customer or a business deal or experience unnecessary friction with a colleague, all because we chose the broad road rather than the narrow one of the golden rule. The golden rule is one of the oldest truths known to the human race. Jesus taught it, but it predates him by almost 2,000 years and is found in every world religion. It's the ultimate key to a fruitful and satisfying life. Jesus explains the golden rule in the Sermon on the Mount, but before we look at that in more detail, let's go back to when this truth was first taught. Let's have a look at the golden rule in history. The first time we find out about the golden rule is probably around 6000 BC during the Stone Age by one Fred Flintstone. If you're anything like me, you grew up with watching the Flintstones on TV. And there was an occasion where Fred helped a stranger who was robbed and left to die, a little bit like the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Fred is questioned about why he stopped to help this person. And here's Fred Flintstone's wise words. He says, "I'd want him to help me." And so right there, golden rule thinking was born back in the Stone Age. Yabba dabba doo. Seriously though, about 2000 BC, we find the golden rule in an Egyptian story called The Tale of the Eloquent Peasant. Here's a quote. This is over 4,000 years old. "Do for the one who may do for you, that you may cause him thus to do." And then around 1440 BC, the Hebrew scriptures, what we refer to as the Old Testament, included the golden rule in verses like Exodus 23 and verse 9. "Don't oppress a foreigner, for you well know how it feels to be a foreigner, since you were foreigners yourselves in the land of Israel." In other words, treat foreigners the way you wish you were treated when you were in slavery. And of course, in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, the first introduction of a statement that we find eight times in Scripture, and that is, love your neighbour as yourself. And then various philosophers picked up the golden rule. People like Socrates in 5th century BC Greece, he said, "Do not do to others that which would anger you if others did it to you." Plato, "May I do to others as I would have, as I would that they should do to me." Aristotle, "As the virtuous man is to himself, he is to his friend also, for his friend is another self." And then Philo, I don't know whether he was the inventor of puff pastry, but he's called Philo of Alexandria. He was a Jewish philosopher in the first century BCE. And he says, "Don't do to another what you'd be unwilling to have done to yourself." And then we find the golden rule in all of the 12 major world religions. And I'm not going to quote all of these for you today, but you will find these in your message notes. So if you access those via the Bayside Church website or the Bayside Church app, you'll be able to find a list of all of the quotes from the 12 major classical world religions. But let me just quote four of these for you. Judaism, for example, in the Talmud, which is the primary source of Jewish theology, says this: "What is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man. This is the law, all the rest is commentary." In other words, this is the essence of all truth. Do good to other people as you would have people do to you. Jesus also said this statement summarizes the entire scriptures, all of the law and all of the prophets. In Buddhism, "A state that is not pleasing or delightful to me, how could I inflict that upon another?" We find the golden rule in Hinduism. "This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you." And then Islam, "None of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself." And then, of course, we find the golden rule in Scripture, in the New Testament. In the first century AD, Jesus taught the golden rule to his followers. In Luke's account, in chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he provides some practical ways that we may walk on the narrow road, this narrow road that leads to life. Treat others as you would have them treat you. And then Luke says, this is what it looks like in everyday life. "Do not judge others so that others will not judge you." The word "judge" there means to pick out by separating. Ever had that happen to you? I'm sure we've all experienced that. And what did it feel like? It was horrible, right? When someone picks you out and highlights something negative about you before other people. That's what judgment is all about. And Jesus says, if you do that to other people are going to reciprocate. And so be kind. Treat others the way you want to be treated yourself. He goes on then from judgment to talk about condemnation. He says, do not condemn others and others will not condemn you. The word "condemn" there literally means to pass a sentence on somebody. Instead of doing that, he says, forgive others, because then others will forgive you. Forgive means to pardon, to set free, or to release. And then he says, give to others and others will give to you. The implication here is that instead of giving judgment and condemnation, the golden rule encourages us to be generous to others with our forgiveness and our kindness. When we live that kind of life, others will return the same to us. Jesus says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Just think about that for a moment. Different sizes of measures. If you use a measure of judgment or condemnation, that's what you're going to find coming your way. If you use a measure of kindness and forgiveness, then that's what you're going to find flowing back to you. And so to live Jesus' way, to pass through the small gate and to walk on the narrow road, we simply ask ourselves the golden question in every situation. And I really encourage you to make a note of this and take this question with you throughout every day. Whatever situation you're in, whether it's with family, friends, in the workplace, whatever, the golden question is this: how would I like to be treated? And then the golden answer, well, that's how I am going to live. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word today. So practical. Helps us in everyday life. And I pray for all of my brothers and sisters that you'll help us all to remember the golden question: how do I want to be treated? And the golden answer: that's how I'm going to live, as we live Jesus' way together. We want to help you too. If you're just kind of tuning into Bayside Church and you're exploring the possibility of God and Jesus and the Christian faith, we would love to help you with that journey. There's a link in the chat feed right now, although if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll find the link in the body of the notes. If you want to just click on that, that will connect you with one of our team here at Bayside Church, and we would love to connect with you, send you a Bible and some information that could really help you get started on the journey of following Jesus. God bless you.